to Curiosity Public's podcast. I am Dutch.
I am Jules.
Dylan. I am.
I got Dylan only plays along.
Keeping the cadence. Yeah.
He only plays along on the podcast, not on the live, not on the video. Can't deal with it. But yes, welcome everybody. Thank you for tuning in.
Welcome. Happy New Year.
And, if you're in your car, I hope you're driving safely and wearing your seatbelt and not drinking, because that would be bad. You can drink water, but just don't drink booze. I don't know why I said that. But anyway, let's.
You care.
What's our nickel
you
lawyer?
Care about that.
Yes, Curiosity Public does not advise or disadvise the consumption of anything ever. Don't listen to us. Okay, we got a fun one today, hopefully. But before that, let's talk about what we're sipping on. Jules, why don't you go first?
All right. Should be no surprise.
I just Colonel E.H. Taylor.
Show the bottle.
Is that the small batch?
This is the single barrel.
Single barrel, that's right. Yeah, I should know better. I should know by now.
Yeah, I went to a store and they were selling the small batch for $49.99.
Huh. There's going to come a day when I think a lot of these, some, not a lot, but some of the currently allocated hoarded bottles are going to be super available. And there's going to be some people that feel really stupid. I mean, we might be those people too with some of the things we've bought in the past. But
We don't hoard stuff that we don't like.
That's true. That's true. And we try not to overpay.
And you like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That's the problem.
All right, I'll go next because I got a little bit of a story with this. I'll show you guys the bottle, see if you can guess it here. You should be able to get this one.
Woodford?
Yeah.
Dang.
This is the original. This is the original batch proof, the 125.8.
Wow.
Or is this the second one? This might be the second one.
Famous
I can't remember.
One?
It's either the first or the second one. And the reason I'm cracking into this is because they've got the new one now, the 119. I can't find it.
I can't find it either.
I mean, it used
they had
to be...
it at Costco.
Yeah.
Briefly, but that was not available.
Well, that's what I wanted to, one of the things I kind of wanted to talk about. And the reason I picked this was this used to sit on the shelf at retail. You know, it would sell out eventually, but it'd be there. You'd have like a few weeks to be able to get it. Now it's gone. And MSRP is the same, like 130. And I go online and it's $2.99 everywhere. Mm. I just don't get it, man. Like, this is just, it's sad.
Oh, you get it. It's just don't want to be a part of it.
I know. And I'm just not going to buy it. I don't. Okay, Dylan, what are you drinking?
$2.99
for $130 whiskey.
So I have something that's an alternative. I don't know if you can hear that.
George D. Stagg.
I hear a metal.
Oh, it has a metal on it. Jack Daniels, single barrel proof. Great choice. You're right. An excellent, excellent choice.
It's got a collar.
What's the proof point on that? I can't see.
65.95.
Wow. That's a what? 131?
Yeah, 131 point
something. That's impressive. I mean, those... Nine. Man, those Jack Daniels barrel proofs are so good.
Yeah.
They're so good. I mean, my prediction, if you guys recall, was that Jack Daniels is going to do something high proof that's not a single barrel.
Right.
That's what I'm waiting for. The high proof Jack Daniels blends. And when that comes out, man, what can stand up to that?
I don't know. Stag? Maybe. But this will be sweeter.
Yeah. And maybe more consistent because, you know, stag batches are hit and miss, as everybody knows.
Maybe.
I just want, them
just
to
don't
do it.
Show.
I just want them to do it just one year. Just flood the market.
No. Well, yeah. But then it's going to become like Coy Hill and like the special release.
Exactly.
Rye.
It's got to be a regular release.
Regular release, man. Yep. Something that they're just
totally
going to.
With you. But on the regular, consistent.
Problem is they don't need to and they probably won't.
Yeah, they don't.
Anyway, we were talking about predictions. And if you guys tuned in a few weeks ago or however long ago it was, we
made like
our...
last week, dude.
Since yeah, but year. You know. The time between recording and release.
True,
if Jules ever does actually
we go into
them,
the vacuum,
if he doesn't forget to
yeah,
release
exactly.
the podcast.
No, man, I do release them. It's just whether or not that because I set it up to be scheduled release, and I don't know, it doesn't always trigger apparently during the holidays.
you can't use that thumb.
How much Sincoro did you drink over the Christmas holiday, Jules?
Did not open any of them.
I will tell you guys this. It's funny because we're actually like a couple weeks out from Christmas now, but we never talked about this. But I actually did drink the Angel's Envy Rye. I opened that up on Christmas night.
Nice.
And I drank about a quarter of the bottle. It was excellent.
Wow.
Just tasted right that night. I don't know why.
Okay.
It's good, man.
So... our article today is from the Spirits Business, and they've got their predictions.
Right.
They call it trends. So the name of the article is Spirits Trends to Watch in 2022. And we thought it'd be kind of fun to go through their picks basically and discuss them. So the first one is going green. So the brands, as you know, are trying to become more sustainable. We saw this. What was it? Johnny Walker changing that to that like disposable recycled
bottle.
Yeah. So you're seeing a lot of that. I think this is a no-brainer. I think brands are totally going to do this. The question, I think, is
the question is, do consumers actually care about this?
Well, I don't think that. I think the question is, how cool can they make it look? Because if it looks cool,
good point. Yeah,
and it's not going to cost them much more. I think they'll do
it. I just feel like they're all doing this because, you know, it's like the millennial thing to do, right? Support a company that is sustaining, or, you know, using sustainable methods.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice thing to put on the label. And I mean, if you're looking at two bottles, right? So you got Johnnie Walker and Coors, and Johnnie Walker's in an eco-friendly packaging, and it's $1 more, $2 more, $3. I mean, like, where do you make the choice and say, you know, it's $1 more?
I guess that's my point. It's like, I'm not,
I think everybody like, has
eco-friendly is not a bullet point on my list,
right? But if you have
some liquor,
if you have two products though, and you're like, hey, I could spend just a little bit more, and that comes in a cool package, come on, man, you're Mr. Yeah.
Okay, so what you're telling me, hey Dutch, what you're telling me is that
if
it came in a green packet and right next to it was Woodford Reserve Batch Proof,
no,
but it wasn't coming in a eco-friendly thing, you're going to pick the proper 12? Exactly. Is that what you're telling me?
Let me phrase my question very clearly for you, Dylan, here. There are two bottles of George T. Stagg on the shelf at retail.
Okay. Yeah.
One is in the new eco-friendly design, and the other is in the old stool design. The new eco-friendly one costs $2 more. Are you going to buy that one?
I would buy both.
Okay. See, there you go.
It's not because
it had nothing to do with the packaging.
Exactly.
It had nothing to do. You know why?
That is not like a bullet point on my checklist.
I am not Jules. I do not judge the book by its cover. I could care less. I told you, I will drink George C. Stagg
Do you care about the planet?
About the planet, dude.
If the trash bag is biodegradable, fine. What I'll do is I'll take it and then I'll pour it into a decanter.
Right. But that's my question, is how much more are you willing to spend to be good to the planet? Like 50 cents, a dollar, nothing? It'd have to be cheaper for you to consider? Like, I guess I feel like if the price is close and the packaging looks cool.
Why is there a difference? You shouldn't have a choice. You should just basically...
It should just be the same price.
Say the Coca-Cola is in the biodegradable container, but the Shasta is not. And you're a regular Shasta drinker, as we know. But the Coca-Cola comes in this biodegradable packaging. Are you going to try it?
No, because I'm going to be drinking pineapple Shasta. You're
the wrong guy. Exactly.
Dude, I don't understand this thing. Like, man. Idiotic comparison here. You're basically saying would you pick a McDonald's with biodegradable packaging or a Wendy's? I don't care. If I want McDonald's, I'll go get McDonald's.
I want a burger.
There's nothing about the packaging.
How about this? You're buying that bottle of Stag, okay, or whatever it is. You're buying your McDonald's French fries, and they say, you know, for $1 more, we can serve this to you in biodegradable containers on a biodegradable tray. Would you do that?
How about you just pour it in my hand? $2.
So you just buy your whiskey in bulk. Let's just buy it in bulk.
I'm just going to bring, like, again, I might have to just bring trash bags all over the place and just say, here, just dump it in here.
Make sure they're biodegradable trash
bags. I don't care what it's in.
I don't care.
Okay, well, we may not care, or you may not care, but
I care.
Some people care about this stuff.
Yeah.
They would pay a little bit more.
Let me be clear. Not a lot more. I am not against protecting the environment. I am all for singing Kumbaya and saving the earth. Okay. I'm all for that. However, the scenario is ridiculous. You're going to have a choice. You're going to have to say Johnnie Walker's.
No, dude, it's not about the choice. It's about Johnnie Walker normally costs $20. Hey, they came out with their new biodegradable thing and now it costs $21. Are they going to lose customers or not?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. But at $25, maybe. At $30, that's what I mean. Like, what's the price increase that is acceptable if you're doing it in the name of?
They're probably not going to even change the price. I think if this trend's going to happen, it's going to be exactly the same. I think it's just literally going to be a marketing sticker.
I don't know though. It depends on if these kinds of eco-friendly packaging are really going to cost the same. Right now, they probably cost a little more.
It's going to depend on the region and demographic. That's all.
And as long as it's not in a paper bottle,
I think we'll be okay.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, plastic straws versus paper straws.
Again, before I get angry letters, I use bamboo straws, and these are biodegradable.
He was using that before anyone cared about Mother Earth.
Wait. Name the movie.
He fashioned it himself.
Name the movie, guys. Chinese bamboo. Very strong.
Very strong. It's too easy.
All right, let's go to the next category, because we're not going to get
it. Oh, yeah, I guess we should. There's more than one.
Yeah, there's a few here. The next category is Year of Tequila. Basically, they're citing some reports saying that 80% of retailers intend to list more tequila this year. It's going to be on par with bourbon. That's impressive if that happens.
You know what's impressive about that? That was Jules' prediction. You remember? That in the New Year's podcast episode.
No, I didn't. Did
he
I
said about tequila was going to be the big thing this year. Again, oh, I'm telling you, man. You're like, what's
we're going to have to revisit that at the end.
Yeah,
of
we'll
year.
Have to replay that.
What's that? What's that?
We should revisit this list actually as well when we redo ours.
Dutch is Miss Cleo. Jules is like John Edwards. You know.
Oh man! But look at that. They're I like how their evidence is evidenced by Kendall Jenner's 818 tequila brand.
Boom! And you were giving me crap about putting 818 on our end of the year list. It's everywhere, man.
It doesn't mean it's good.
That's why you have to address the issue.
Exactly.
It was surprising, I guess. Yeah. So if these are all celebrity tequilas, that's horrible. Tequila's gonna reach.
Man, do you think we're seriously gonna have more celebrity tequilas this year?
Maybe, but I'm more concerned about just the agave supply. You know, they talk about there's shortages.
Agave is hard to grow, man.
It's hard to grow.
It takes a long time.
Time consuming, and all these the massive distilleries that put out all of these celebrity brands, they harvest it super young, and that's why they have to use all the additives, and they're just killing the soil. They're killing the industry, and they need to figure something out. Somebody's got. To engineer a
no one's gonna figure anything out as long as they're making money
quicker. As long as they're selling it, man.
I guess
the question is, will tequila ever get to the crazy like secondary market of bourbon?
Stock up on Fortaleza Añejo because apparently the large chain liquor store guy
so frustrating
telling me that it's allocated.
Allocated.
I was shocked. I said, what? Come again? What?
Come on.
It's our fault, dude. We shouldn't
tequila's like the one
shouldn't be putting thing. Information out there about these things.
Fortaleza, the Añejo, killed that bottle.
That's so good. It's such good stuff. But this is one that I see more and more people buying tequila, but I haven't seen, I feel like there's a disproportionate growth. The premium crafted brands are not increasing as rapidly as the heavily marketed brands, right? The celebrity brands.
Oh yeah. The yield seems to be the same.
Right. Sure. Well, and yeah.
Like if not, still remains small.
They're all selling more, but the celebrity stuff is selling a lot.
A lot more. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
the true craft ones, you know, it feels like it's still the same amount.
But I guess, you know, you could say the same thing. Like if you think about where bourbon was 10 years ago, there wasn't a ton of craft bourbon. You know, there was some.
That's true.
And the connoisseurs were happy because there was really good stuff available everywhere. And it was really cheap, relatively cheap, super cheap compared to today's standards. But most people drank Yellow Label Four Roses or Jim Beam or whatever the cheap stuff was. So
yeah, I was drinking George C. Stagg whenever I wanted.
Yeah, I wish. Elijah Craig 12-year all over the place.
All over the place.
Well, I think this one makes sense. It's going to keep growing. I do worry though, because I do hear about how agave, they're not maturing fully and these big companies are, you know, chopping them all up too early and using the additives and probably not good for the soil. And depending on weather conditions, there's less agave some years it grows. So I feel like there's going to need to be some investment in the agriculture side of this. You know, the U.S. has this long history of agricultural investment and growing, engineering crops and selectively breeding them to be increasing the yield. And it's great that we can use corn to make whiskey, but you know, corn grows really fast.
Yeah.
And you can grow a lot more of it
per acre
than agave. So somebody's going to need to figure something out there. So, all right. Next up is the on-demand boom, where consumers are using apps, getting alcohol delivered more. This is an interesting one.
Yeah, it's interesting because DoorDash locked my account.
It's
still locked. They said that I violated their terms of service. I don't know what terms of service I violated. I keep asking them that.
You didn't click agree.
Them that and they won't tell me.
Really?
And they're holding my money hostage. So I don't know what the deal is, but you know, I guess that's how they play their game. So yeah, no on demand for me. Actually, I don't care.
Well, I will say we were filming not too long ago and we realized we needed a particular bottle.
That was impressive.
And we went on to Drizzly and
delivered in under an hour.
I'm going to support Drizzly.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
Uber Eats.
Yeah, Uber bought Drizzly, so.
And you know what? I'm going to support GoPuff.
GoPuff.
Over DoorDash.
I purchased BevMo.
Well, this is one I definitely
need. BevMo Micro Centers.
Yeah, this one is definitely, the on-demand is definitely happening. I think the other one that's going to happen is more and more sale over the internet. And I think, especially with the craft brands, you're going to see more and more.
Well, it'd be cool if they do direct-to-consumer
stuff. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. More and more of the direct-to-consumer stuff from the
brand. More D2C. I'd love to see that. that as a trend.
And I think, you know, we talked about this in another episode, but the legislation that's proposed to allow the USPS to ship alcohol, I think that's going to be huge if that happens. I don't think Congress can actually pass any laws, right? They've stopped doing that, haven't they?
What? Are you saying that our representatives are gridlock, competent?
No, hey, everybody write to your senator and tell them.
I'm not saying that they're incompetent. Just
write to your senator and tell them, hey, look, we need alcohol to get through this, guys. And you're making it harder.
I don't care what color hat you wear. Get this done.
Get her done.
That's the one that's got to happen for me. And I think some more uniformity in laws state to state as far as the ability to ship would be great. But I think
that's not going to happen.
No, I think if the people demand it, like it'll happen.
That's not going to happen, man.
You know, people need to get motivated to get out there.
No, it'd have to be like a big uproar nationally for that to happen. It's not going to happen.
No, I mean like people in state-controlled states who are like, hey, we want to be able to order alcohol over the internet. You know, they could change the state at the state level.
It's not going to happen.
Move out of that state, dude.
No, it's not going to happen.
I'm talking about state control. State control. So like Ohio, right?
Yeah, exactly. They'll just move out of that state.
Who's going
to be able to change that? Yeah, they're not going to change that.
They're not going to move out of the state just to get alcohol.
They're not going to change that.
No. First of all, you can't
do that. ADHD, dude, he moved.
No. The people who care enough are probably hungover the next day.
Yeah, so they don't care. Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, or
they care enough, but then they're too drunk to do anything.
We need to inspire social change, man. If they don't like the way their state's running, they need to do something about it. They need to go run for a representative position.
That's my point, dude. The ones over there, like state controlled, the majority like it that way. That's why they move there. It's not going to change, man.
Okay, Jules,
gotta move.
That's
out.
Not why they move there.
You're talking about a lot of people move for those
kind of reasons,
dude,
man.
Chicago alone could probably change the law in that state. They just need to do it.
Nah.
Will of the people, right?
That's why you move there, man. I'm telling you. Just move to another state.
Okay. So that's Jules's answer. Move. <Wow.
laughs> It is, man.
Okay. Our next category here that they say is going to be an increasing trend is functional drinks. So drinks with added benefits. So
CBD.
No sugar, CBD, no tropics. No alcohol, things like that.
How is that a functional drink? Come on.
I don't know. Hemp stuff. I mean, like,
it's a weird category.
It is a weird category. I kind of get the CBD infused stuff or even the THC infused stuff because, like I said, you know, you're getting something out of it.
Different sensation.
Yeah. And you're probably getting some interesting flavors there too.
True.
It would be interesting to have like a hemp seed or even a marijuana seed distillate, you know?
Yeah. Like actually use instead of like malted barley or barley.
Right. Used hemp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, hey.
Hey, that fermented some more. Why not?
Yeah. Or not even hemp. Like, why not just regular pot? Like,
you know, peated hemp.
Yeah. It could be really interesting. I mean, I wonder how much of the bioactive compounds would make it through that. But
yeah,
maybe. It's like, you know, one of the committee releases for Ardbeg. It'd be Ardbeg getting high.
Hemp edition.
Ardbeg up in smoke.
Yeah, up in smoke.
Well played.
Oh, I got to trademark that.
Well played, dude.
Ardbeg up in smoke.
The flames and everything.
That's a good one. It's like smoky.
That's Cheech and Chong's celebrity spirit.
Why are you saying like Cheech and Chong, dude? Hey.
Do I have to like cut that? I think I have to, right?
You're the one who said it, dude.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did. It just comes out, Dylan.
Yeah, I think this stuff, man, I mean, this stuff is obviously trending.
Yeah, I could see. I just don't know if it's going to be that big of a deal this year. I think we're still like another year or two away from this.
Yeah, and I think that people will lose their interest in this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it's going to be so experimental. It's like, yeah, I'm with you on that.
All right. The final category is the modernization of whiskey.
This is a weird one.
Understand that.
So weird.
Header.
Creating products that are created to be mixed. So they're talking about Glenmorangie X, the Johnny Walker Blonde.
This cannot be a trend.
Lower ABV flavored spirit drinks. I guess Hague Club has an orange flavored product that's 35 ABV. Stuff for the at-home cocktail boom, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. And also they also bring in this category like whiskeys that are being produced in non-traditional countries, Mexico, China, and New Zealand. Why are those considered non-traditional?
Yeah, well, how's that? Yeah, exactly.
Just countries that I guess don't normally create whiskey.
I have no idea.
I mean, we've tried one of the Mexican ones, the corn whiskey that was.
What was that?
I can't remember what it's called.
Abba something.
Abasolo. Yeah. It was not good. We did try a New Zealand whiskey once, didn't we? Didn't Jeff bring us one?
That does sound familiar.
And I have not had any Chinese whiskey, but we hope to get some Chinese whiskey in the future.
Snake wine.
I've often wondered if you just took like the Baijiu and poured it into an oak barrel and let it sit for a while. How would it be?
See what happens.
Yeah. Let's see what happens. Yeah. That's my new segment.
Right? All right. Right. Let's see what happens. Wow.
I like it. Dutch is on a roll. He's coining all kinds of stuff this evening. Terrible. I don't know. I feel like they just did this because Glenn Morangi did something and Johnny Walker.
I think you're right.
That's honestly it.
Well, I don't see this as the modernization.
That modernization?
That's what I see modern. Of the modernization is the stuff like Glyph and Bespoken, right? The companies that are doing things completely differently. They're not taking distillate and dumping it in a barrel. They're figuring out ways to make it age quicker and innovating. So
you can't cheat time, though.
Or can you?
We don't have the time.
I was waiting for Dylan to go see it.
You guys are on some sort of star.
What are you guys on? Some kind of a Star Trek? Oh, man. Well, I don't have much else to say about this other than these are some interesting predictions.
Cheers to 2022, y'all.
I think they've got a couple of them they hit on the head here, but I think some of these are going to be fads, like the functional drinks and the whole modernization thing. I don't know how long that's going to go. But we have been wrong many times before.
I've been wrong. It's going to be the number one trending thing. Watch.
Wow. I don't know.
Well, all right, Jules.
It's not Jules, remember? Name is John Edward.
Oh, yeah. The former senator. The disgraced senator. It's the medium.
It might be the disgraced senator.
Dutch is
you never know what Dylan.
It's Cleo. John Edward.
Maybe he's just Guinan.
No. The old sage.
I just saw an episode where she's like trying to fight Q and she does the whole claw thing. I thought that was hilarious. That's how
remember that. When did she fight Q?
No, she doesn't fight, but she's like trying to defend herself and she does this whole like claw pose. I thought it was funny. I was like, oh, that's how Guinan fights?
That's how she fights.
I want to know that. I want to see that. I want Guinan to come on.
She's not supposed to fight. She just fights like physically. She fights with her mind. That's the whole point, isn't it?
What are you talking about? Like she like counsels them? Oh no, that's Counselor Troy.
That's your favorite character in Star Trek Next Generation.
Like it's
Counselor
like,
Troy.
I'm gonna kill
Dylan's
you.
Favorite episode when Troy is captain.
No, it's like I'm gonna kill you, Picard. And then like Troy's like, I sense anger. Thanks.
There's actually a funny thing that somebody pointed out to me about Next Generation, which was how Troy never wore a uniform.
Right.
She did.
Well, no, she did.
Until later.
Chains of command.
Because the guy's like, I expect my officers to be in uniform. And then after that, she just kept wearing it even when Picard was back.
Right. Then she was also like applying for whatever new rank or whatever too, wasn't it?
Commander or something like that, right?
Yeah, she was trying to go for a higher rank too, I remember. So
yeah, all right. We're going to have a series of just, character arc. Star Trek episodes, I think. But we'll save that for another day.
It's not like we could really review 10 forward.
We could totally do it, but some other time. Take us out.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to our podcast. Can't believe you guys listened this long. If you haven't yet, be sure to check out our YouTube channel. It's where we have reviews and drink throughs up there weekly. If you want to help us out, please consider joining Curiosity Private. It's our membership program on YouTube. We are also on Patreon and we are selling t-shirts. There'll be links in the description. As always, stay safe, stay healthy.
Stay curious.